renew our mind and to strengthen our inner man by reminding us about things that are not seen, the eternal things that are the real, where the real value is, where the real purpose of life comes from. And as Scott has shared this evening, this story about his brother's girlfriend of many, many years who died real tragically and totally unexpectedly in this accident, and that he had the opportunity to share the gospel with her several times in their relationship together, and he believes that she trusted you, so we can at least rejoice in that truth. And we pray for his brother Mark that he might also find comfort and peace and rest in your word at this time. And for their mom, Sharon, as well. She's back there with them now, seeking to be an encouragement and strengthen them to them. And we pray for her, too, that she would allow your word to be her strength, that she would rest in your word and just allow Christ, who is her life, to be her life and to minister to anyone else that would be open and willing to listen. We know that they're certainly not the only ones that have and or are experiencing tragedies and difficulties and sufferings. There are others that are listening to my voice right now, whether here in this room or by the internet, and that will listen to the recorded messages that are and have experienced real challenges in their lives and are going through some things right now. We pray, God, that the things that we talk about tonight in your word would be an encouragement to each and every one of us, no matter where we are in the struggles that we might be facing. And we will indeed thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. If you would, notice once again these two passages. Go back to 2 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, again at verse 16. It says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Tonight we're going to focus especially on looking at this issue of eternal things, things that are not seen. And then you can see the reason why I went to Hebrews 11 is because there's a very, very similar statement. Someone read Hebrews 11 and verse 1, if you would.
"Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen."
So that phrase, the evidence of things not seen. When we talk about faith, why is faith linked with the idea of things not seen? Because really it is in both passages, right? You've got evidence of things not seen here. And over in 2 Corinthians 4, it talks about where we look not at the things which are seen, but things which are not seen. Why is faith linked with things that are not seen?
Trust in the Lord.
That's true. Trust in the Lord. What do you mean by that?
By what he says in his word.
Yes.
What's going to come.
Yes. God knows what reality is. God sees all things. So even though we don't see all things, all we can do is trust that he's telling us the truth. And since he cannot lie, he is telling us the truth. So he tells us what reality is. So even though we can't see that, we can't see heaven, we can't see the forgiveness of our sins, but they're both very real. And we see that by faith. Scott, you were going
to
say something.
I was just saying, the things that are not seen require faith to see them.
Yes. 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 Can you think of a passage over in Romans? And I'll narrow it down for you. It's somewhere within the first 8 chapters of Romans. I'll narrow it down a little bit more. Chapter 8, there's an interesting passage that Paul kind of gives an additional thought about this idea as to why, you know, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Anybody think of a passage that I'm kind of driving at there? Look over to Romans 8 there. Go to Romans 8. Look at Romans 8, verse 24 and 25. And someone read those two verses.
"For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it?
So see the idea again in the verse of something that you see as compared to something that you don't see? What's he mean in that verse? He says we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. What's that part of that verse mean?
Because it's physically in front of you.
Yeah, you got it. You have it, right? Okay, so you're no. What's that? Yeah, exactly. So you're not, you know, you're not expecting it. It's there. Why would you yet hope for it? And then in verse 25, how does he say it? But if we hope for, and again, you know, in Paul's epistles, when you see the word hope, it's not the idea of, well, I hope my team wins the Stanley Cup kind of thing. That's not the sense of the word hope. When Paul uses the word hope, what's the sense of which he uses that word hope?
Confident expectation.
Yes, exactly. Confident expectation that what God promised will come to pass. It's different. In the world out there, when you think of the word hope, you think, man, I hope I get that pay raise, or I hope I get that job, or I hope my car doesn't run out of gas, or I hope I get a flat tire kind of thing. But when the Apostle Paul uses the word hope, that's not the sense in which he uses the word hope. He uses it with the idea of the confident expectation that what God promised, it is going to come to pass. And therefore, it stabilizes us, strengthens us. So when he says at verse 25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And in the context, the specific thing we're waiting for is the redemption of our body, the rapture and so forth. Okay. But again, you can see there's a parallel he's using with hope and faith in connection with things that are not seen. Now, if you were to, let's just say you were to make a list. Go back to 2 Corinthians 4 here. Go back to 2 Corinthians 4. I want us to do this together tonight for a little bit here, okay? Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, 18. And if you have a piece of paper, maybe jot some things down. Or if you have your cell phone, even nowadays on your cell phone, you can write things down, can't you? You can write them down on your cell phone, right? But notice the phrase again at verse 18. So 2 Corinthians 4, 18. Someone read that verse again, please.
How we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen.
Yep.
For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Okay. That phrase there, things that are not seen, things that are not seen that are eternal. What are some things, I want you to think about, what are some things that are not seen yet that are eternal? Okay, what'd you say?
Spiritual growth.
Okay, spiritual growth is one of them, that's true. You don't see your inner man being built up. You can sense your inner man being built up by how you, the light you get from the Word and by how you respond to life situations. Good. What's something else that is?
The third heaven.
Is the third heaven real?
Yes, sir.
You know, it's that, how do you know it's real? You've never been there.
The Scripture.
Yeah, God tells us in His Word that it's real. It's where He is. You know, God's not just a figment of someone's imagination. So the heavenly places are real. What's something else that you can't see that's real?
Even all our spiritual blessings there.
That's right. What verse would you go to, by the way, to appeal to that?
Ephesians 1:3.
Let's go over there. Ephesians 1:3. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. And we'll let you read that one, okay?
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Okay, so once again, how do we know those spiritual blessings are real? Because that's what the claim of the verse says. If they're not real, that verse wouldn't make any sense. He says that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, but if they're not real, then that, again, that doesn't mean anything. Not only are the spiritual blessings real, but the heavenly places have to be real, because Christ is real, God is real, and He has blessed us. What's something else that is real, but you can't see yet?
Our salvation.
That's exactly right. Okay, the salvation of your soul. The moment we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for our Savior, many, many, many things happened to us instantaneously. You were talking about, what was the girl's name that passed away?
Sarah Nelson.
Sarah. You were talking about that, you know, if, even if she believed the gospel just for a fraction of a second, she got saved. And that's true of anyone that trusts Christ. And just a whole host of things happen to you the moment you trust Christ. And so your salvation, you don't see your salvation. You can sense your salvation. All right, that is not to say that if you don't sense your salvation, that you're not saved. That's not saying the same thing, because you don't want to look to feelings as the evidence of your salvation. What's the evidence of our salvation? How do you know you're saved? Because the Word says so. That's the only appeal. Don't say, well, because I feel saved. Well, you don't always feel saved. Next time you get the flu, I'll tell you something, you ain't going to feel being saved at that time, right? Right? Something happens, you know, in your life that isn't very fun, you don't feel saved at that moment. The only appeal that you and I can go to as the evidence of our salvation, it's not our works, it's not our feeling, it's not our emotion, it's not our conduct, it's the Word of God alone. That's it. God said it, and He cannot lie. Therefore, He's true to what He says. So that's excellent. Okay, so what's something else that you can't see but is real? That's by the way, is that very important? That's like way at the top, what she said. I don't know if the mic picked that up, but the Holy Spirit. How do you know that you have the Holy Spirit? Again, don't appeal to feeling. So I'm stopping you just in case. Yeah, no, you aren't going to do that. But someone listened to this tape, you know, who knows, maybe someone not familiar with the message, they'll say, well, I feel the Spirit. No, you don't. That was that bad Mexican food that you ate that you're feeling, or whatever, you know, or whatever. But how do you know that you have the Holy Spirit? Right now, presently, right now, how do you know? Where? Show me a verse. What's that? Okay, where's the verse though? Okay, one would be Ephesians 1. Let's go over there. No, that's okay. Good, we'll go there in just a second, okay? So Henry posted Romans 8:18. We'll go there in just a minute. Thank you, Henry. And what did you say, Lori? Let's go Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. So read those two if you would.
In whom also you... Also, trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
Okay. Keep going. I'm sorry.
Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory.
That's a pretty cool verse, isn't it? You know, if you're ever talking with someone about the idea of security, and if they're kind of wondering about that, and they're willing to believe God's Word, that's a real good verse to show them. Go ahead, Jim.
I like how the Lord said, or the Father said it about the Holy Spirit. He says, with that Holy Spirit.
That Holy Spirit of promise.
Yes.
The one who keeps His promise. Yeah, that's excellent. Okay. Okay, and in which you said, Henry posted which one? Romans 8?
18.
Let's go over there.
He talked about the glory being revealed.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. By the way, before we get to that one, let's stay on the issue about the Holy Spirit, that you have the Holy Spirit. So Henry, we'll come back to Romans 8:18 in just a moment, okay? Where's another verse that you would appeal to believe that you have the Holy Spirit? Let's go there. Okay, look over to 2 Timothy. And what'd you say?
A good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in
thee. Yep. That's over in...
Well, 2 Timothy 1:14.
Yeah. No, that's and then that's... Yeah. 2 Timothy 1:14. That's a great one right there. That good thing which was committed unto thee. That's the message. Keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. That's a great one. What's another one, by the way?
Romans 8.
Let's go there. And Jeff, you want to read that one?
But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you.
See that? That's pretty clear. So if you ever wonder whether or not you as a believer actually have the Holy Spirit, that's a great verse right there. By the way, why was it so important for God to give us the Holy Spirit? Think about that verse we read in Ephesians 1. He did what? He sealed us. What's that?
He's kind of empty in there.
That's very true, by the way. Okay.
Understand God's word?
Yes. So, seal us, educate us to help us understand God's word. We can relate to God, did you say?
To empower us.
Yeah. See that? All those things. The Holy Spirit is... the way that the Godhead lives in the believer today is by the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, you know how we talk about Christ is in us? And He is, but He's in us by means of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus Christ personally is at the Father's right hand in the third heavens right now. Right? So how can He be there and yet in you and me? How?
Space and time doesn't confine.
That's true too, by the way, because as God, He's omnipresent. But then an unsaved person will say, if He's omnipresent, then He's in me as well. Well, He's not in an unsaved person like He's in you and me. Right? The way that God is in the believer today is by means of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So it's accurate to say that Christ is in you, because Paul says that. If Christ be in you, the body's dead because of sin. So, but He's in you by means of the Holy Spirit. Alfonso, you had your hand up. You had a comment or a question.
When we go to heaven, that still continues, right?
Yes. Yeah. In fact, it's interesting you bring that up, because something I was going to mention and it slipped out of my mind, so thanks for bringing that up. Watch this now. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Look at Ephesians chapter number 2. And on your way over, get 1 Corinthians 6. But yeah, is that what you're going to go? Yeah.
Nate's got Ephesians 5:18.
Good, good, good. So we'll get that one just a second, Nathan. Okay? And we tell Henry we haven't forgot about him. We're going to get back to Romans 8:18. Because that one about Romans 8:18, that was another issue about spiritual things that you can't see but are real. I think that's why he pointed that verse out. So we're going to 1 Corinthians 6, and we're going to, what did I say? Ephesians 2. Thank you. I hope that Alzheimer's not kicking in already. You know, I'm not. Okay, so that verse went right out of my head. Okay, so thanks, Jeff. Okay, watch this now. Because the question, the comment was, will we always have that relationship with the Holy Spirit? And the answer is yes. Look over to 1 Corinthians 6, and then we're going to compare that with Ephesians 2. He says at verse 19, 1 Corinthians 6, 19, and Alfonso, why don't you read that, 19 and 20.
What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God.
So what do we learn about our relationship to the Spirit and His relationship to us in verse 19? Okay, give that word temple. What's a temple? It's like a dwelling place, but it's a place of worship, right? Isn't that interesting? Now compare that with Ephesians 2. Look at Ephesians 2. There's time, verse 21 and 22. Look at the wording here. 21 and 22. Ephesians 2, 21 and 22. Someone read those two verses. Jeff, you want to read those two?
In whom all the building fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
See that there? What's a habitation? That's the place where someone lives. Notice it's in connection with a temple. So you've got a habitation that is a temple, but it's a holy temple. Who lives in that temple? God does, but it's God through the Spirit. The body of Christ is going to be the eternal dwelling place for the temple of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? Think about that. By the way, that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit can't occupy you know, believers on the earth, like the kingdom Israelites on the earth. That doesn't mean more than it meant when God, when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to dwell in his temple on the earth. That doesn't mean he's confined to the earth. He can go to anywhere he wants to in his universe. But the church, the body of Christ, is the habitation of God through the Spirit. Isn't that something? That's pretty cool.
Churches use this when they want to build a building.
That's, they do. Yeah, and it, this verse is not talking about a physical building at all, is it?
No.
You know, that the building here, that's the believers. God dwells in the believers, okay? Another verse that I like about, oh, let's look at the one that Nathan mentioned before we get over to that one. Go, since you're in Ephesians, yeah, go to Ephesians 5. Yes, good. Yeah, you see how many verses there are about the fact that we have the Holy Spirit. That's evidence of things not seen. See that? So Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine, which is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Stay in Ephesians. This time, go over to 4:30. Ephesians 4:30, and it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." See that? By the way, and notice one says you're sealed unto redemption. The one in chapter 1 says you're sealed until the redemption of the purchased possession. What's the difference? Ephesians says you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, whereas chapter 4 says we're sealed unto the day of redemption. Because those are saying two different things.
Purpose and time.
Yes, yes. You're sealed in relationship to time. You're sealed unto that day, but you're sealed till that day, but you're sealed unto that day. And that's an important term, unsealed, when the redemption happens. When it says we're sealed until that day, well, then what happens after that day? Are we not sealed anymore? No, you're still sealed. Because you're not only sealed until that day, you're sealed unto that day. Tension, intention, and the time. Okay. Did you have a question about that? Okay. Let's see. What was, did you said someone else? Go to Romans. Go to Romans 5. Okay. Colossians had, Trophimus had the one in Colossians. Yeah, let's go there and then we'll go to, let's go to Colossians 3:16. Okay, look at Colossians 3 in verse, "The word of Christ dwell in you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." You think you can do that by your, you can do it by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God, right? Look over to Romans 5. Romans 5:5. Someone read that verse there.
"And hope maketh us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us."
See that? By the way, in the sequence of Paul's epistles, Romans through Philemon, that's the very first time you're ever told that we were ever told the Holy Spirit's been given unto us. Very first time in the sequence when you go from Romans through Philemon. It's important that you, when he says, by the Holy Ghost, which is given. Because that's part of the grace package, right? It's given. It's not taken, it's given. All right? Okay, so what's something else that is, you can't see, it's eternal, it's real, but you can't see it. Now let's go to Henry's verse, Romans 8:18. What's that? Oh yeah, look at that. Go to Romans 8. We need to figure out a way to have those that are not here physically with us be able to quickly grab the mic instead of having to release the mic and then they take it and whatever. So anyway, look at Romans 8.
We're getting close to having that ready.
We are, yeah. Jim and Alfonso are really working on the mic stuff and everything, which is good, and on the technology stuff. So we're great for them doing that. But look at Romans 8 and verse 18. Look at this. He says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time..." Anybody relate to that part of the verse? You know, next time that you feel down or discouraged or just, you're just not sure you're going to make it another day, go to that part of that verse and know that the Lord put that there for a reason. And that the Lord Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, experienced things that we experience. And he took them all to the cross. He says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know, you read a verse like that, and all you can do is just make a decision as whether or not to believe it. That's all you can do with a verse like that. Because you and I, we've not seen that glory. You know, you don't know if it's real or not, right? So, in the sense of personally having been there. So, isn't it true that all we can do is take God's word at it? He either means what he says, or he doesn't. And he does mean what he says, and since he does mean what he says, what do you know for sure about that verse?
Things are
going to
be better than they are.
Right? Yeah, what a wonderful way to put it. The things are going to be better than they are right now.
Not even
he says you can't even compare. Yeah. You read a verse like that, and by the way, how often should we remind ourselves about something like that? You have to remind yourself daily. That it doesn't matter what we're going through personally. The answer is to get in God's Word and just pour our heart out to God. Know that He knows what's there, what we're going through. And just trust Him. Say, Lord, all I can do is just trust what Your Word says. And by the way, the longer we live, is it true to say that the more you see things just totally falling apart out in the world out there? Isn't that true? They just keep falling apart. You think things have gotten just totally crazy. You think, how can it get any worse? And the next day it does get worse. You know? We were at dinner tonight. We were talking with Stephen, one of his buddies, about that how different the world today is compared to when Lori and I were their age. And how fast things are changing. And that they're going to have to be a real testimony to their generation. Yeah, you know, like Alfonso, your generation, you know, and your young boy there, you're going to have to be the leader to your generation, man. Because we're going to be out of here. Yeah, we're going to be, if the Lord tarries, you know, we're, but man, things are changing so fast out. And all we can do is just, and all we need to do is just rest in God's Word. Go back and look at a verse like that, that the glory which shall be revealed in there. So Henry, that's exactly right. That's something, the only way you can see that glory is with the eye of faith. That's the only way we can see it. And it is how to see it now. God says it's real. He says it's not even worthy to be compared with the sufferings you experience right now. So you take the sufferings that you're experiencing right now, whether you are right now this moment, you know what, if you're not, give it a couple of weeks or a couple of years, whatever, give it a day or two. You'll experience something. It's out there. It'll happen to you. And you take the intensity of what you're going through at that time, the depths of the emotional highs and lows. Your brother probably going to be going through some highs and lows, you know. You personally experiencing that and have for several weeks now. Just all that accompanies those experiences. And realize that the intensity that's there, as real as it is, it's not even worth being compared to the glory. That tells you how amazing, over the top, that glory is going to be. Isn't that something? Along those lines, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 then. Let's
go. Go ahead. It says that affliction produces more glory. Is it because of that?
Yes.
God's word and affliction, that's going to create more glory?
Yes, that is such a good question, and that's where we're going. The question is this: how come Paul links together the idea of the suffering and the production of glory? How come he links those two, and how come the one would actually produce the other? Well, let's see in the passage how he clarifies that for us, because that's a good question. Right? Go ahead.
Yes, sir, what comes to mind is the moisture. I mean, that sand and that pearl, it doesn't become a pearl without that agitation and that resistance.
Yes.
That's what
That's an excellent illustration, just in nature out there. I don't know if the microphone picked that up. Did you know if the let me repeat that. What Scott mentioned is the illustration of an oyster, that the pearl is the product of irritation. Next time you get irritated, just remember you're producing a pearl, okay? Kind of a thing. But it's the product of that little bitty grain of sand that gets in that and then irritates it, and then it secretes whatever it secretes around it, and the long-term product is that beautiful pearl. That's a wonderful illustration. Just in nature out there, you know? Well, here's how it happens. Look over back at verse 16. So we're back to 2 Corinthians 4. We're back to 2 Corinthians 4:16. He says, "For which cause we faint not." We need to go back and make sure we understand the cause. Look back at verse 15. He says, "For all things are for your sakes," for your benefit, for your edification. The things that Paul is talking about here in the context that he's suffering to get the message out, to teach, to edify, to strengthen, to encourage. He says, this is for your benefit. He says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace," that is the grace that he's preaching, it's abundant, it's sufficient to do the work of God, "might through the thanksgiving of many redound to" what? "The glory of God, for which cause." See, the cause of the glory of God. We keep our eyes focused on the glory of God, eternal glory. He says, "For which cause we faint not." The idea of fainting is we don't give up. We might feel like it, we don't quit. We might want to, but we don't. I taught that message years and years ago. I need to teach it again, but it was entitled, "It's Always Too Soon to Quit." What do I mean by that? It's never too soon to quit trusting in the flesh. You want to always quit trusting in the flesh, right? But it's always too soon to quit trusting in God. Because when you get to the edge of whatever you think the edge is, and you can't make it any further, you just cannot go another second. Well, you know what? You just did. And then you did again. And then you did again. By appealing to God's Word. Trusting God's Word. That's all you can do. So it's never too soon to quit trusting in the flesh, but it's always too soon to quit trusting in God's Word. See that? A good friend of ours, their son, enlisted in the Marine Corps several months ago, and he just went in, I guess it was Monday last week, right? Officially went in to boot camp, you know. So this guy's in for a total surprise, total shock and everything. At least if it's anything like it was years and years ago and everything. But so we were over at their house because they had kind of a get-together for the family and friends, whatever, to kind of wish them well and kind of a thing. And so we were talking to him, and I was telling him that, well, you realize what their goal is intentionally during boot camp. They want to break you down on purpose. They want to find your breaking point. They want to find it early. Because if they can get you to the breaking point, then the idea is to be able to mold you and shape you like they want the finished product to be, kind of a thing. Right? So they're going to do anything to break you down. They want to find out, what's your breaking point? What can we get you to so we kind of build you back up here? And I told them, I said, one little simple concept to keep in mind is when you just feel like you can't, you know, you just can't go one more step or two. I said, just the concept of mind, always remember, whatever they're telling you to do, push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups, you know, burpees, whatever, duck walks, all those things that you have to do when you can always do it for 30 more seconds. Just break it up into little teeny tiny increments is what I kept trying. I can do this for 30 more seconds. I can tough it out for 30 more seconds. Listen, don't tough out trusting the flesh for 30 more seconds. Forget the flesh now. Done with the flesh, right? But you know, when it comes to trusting God's Word, just trust it now. And now. And now. And now, you get the point? Just say, okay, Lord, you got me through another 30 seconds. Let me just trust you now. That's it. You know? So he says, for which cause we faint not. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. See, there's the material part of us, and then there's the non-material part of us. The outer man, the inner man. Which one of those two is it that is of eternal value? The inner man. He says, and here's how it works. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, and it's light in the sense of eternal weight of glory. He says, for a light affliction, which is but for a moment. And it's a moment in time compared to eternal. He says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Look at everything that's contrasted in that verse. What's contrast with affliction? Glory. What's contrast with light? What's that?
Exceeding.
And not just exceeding, but
wait. Eternal.
Eternal and weight and more. So he contrasts the affliction with glory, and he contrasts the light with more, exceeding, eternal weight of glory. That's like over the top. And here's how that process works. Verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen. Wait a minute. How can you look at things that you can't see? By faith. Right? That's how this works. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. That's why I'm asking that question tonight. What are some things that are not seen that are real? Heaven, salvation, eternal life, the Holy Spirit, being sealed, having total forgiveness, being justified, being blessed, being complete in Christ, being made accepted in the beloved, being set with Christ in heavenly places, being redeemed, being an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. All those things, you can't see those things, but they're real. And as we're going through affliction, while we look at those things, rather than the affliction, it works in us and produces that far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Does that make sense? I mean, it's something we have to think about and learn over a lifetime. But that's how that works. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. What's that mean?
Temporary.
They're just temporary. But the things which seen, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Go ahead, Scott.
So important to read God's word.
Yes.
We're walking by faith, and we're not reading God. I mean, we're not.
Yeah. If when we're in the midst of affliction, if we appeal to anything other than God's word, we're not really going to the source that's going to strengthen and build up the inner man. We might be able to find some temporary relief, but temporary is the problem. We want eternal benefit.
The eyes of faith.
Yes. Yes, that's what you have to do. You have to go back and just rest in God's word. Does that kind of answer your question or clarify it all? Or?
Yeah, it reminds me that a lot of times it's like looking in the mirror. We try to change the mirror, but not ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, so true. Yes.
We try to change the world, but the way you change your surroundings is by going back to God's word.
That is so true. What a great illustration.
It's neat to see how by you growing in faith, everything else changes.
Yes. We're not going to change the world around us, and that's not our job. Right. Rather, God's word is designed to change us on the inside. from an eternal perspective. And that you've heard us, Laura and I talk about, we've talked in the past about that movie called Shadowlands. Shadowlands, pretty good movie. And it was a story about C.S. Lewis, where he was originally, and for most of his life, he was just an avowed bachelor. And he belonged to a club of just absolutely lifelong bachelors. And because of various circumstances and happenings, he met this lady who kind of changed his, what he vowed to. Okay. And they got married, and he was deeply, deeply in love with her. She with him. And unfortunately, she came down with cancer. And then eventually, of course, passed away. And just tore him up. Just, he'd never, ever experienced that kind of pain before. How come? That's right, because he never had experienced the depth of that love. And he even wrote about it later on in his books, that if he had known the depth of despair and pain and loss and suffering that he would experience as a result of losing her, as a result of finding her and loving her, because it all goes together, if he'd have known the loss and the hurt, the depth and everything, would he have made the choice to not love her? And he said, oh, absolutely not. I would absolutely have loved her regardless, because of how great that was. And he makes the comment, in the movie you see the development in his own mind, his own thinking about God and about suffering and about prayer. Because as a bachelor, and in this group of all these bachelors who never really experienced the depth of that kind of pain, all they could speak about suffering was about theoretical suffering and, quote unquote, God's will in that. But now he could speak about it from practical experience. And he was talking about prayer. And he made the comment, it was a really good observation he came to understand, but he said that prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes me. And isn't that true? If you had a chance to see that movie, it's worth watching. It's called Shadowlands. And it's also a book, yeah. Anthony Hopkins played C.S. Lewis, yeah. After she passed away, he, of course, went through a real struggle in faith and everything. He wrote a book called, it's worth reading. It's called A Grief Observed. He wrote about his grief and the despair and what brought him out of it. And you know what it was that brought him out of it? It was God's Word that brought him out of it. And he wrote about that personal experience. That might be something interesting to have your brother read. It might be something that you would, I think.
That's what's helping me get through.
Isn't it?
Only.
Yeah. Amen to that. You know? Look at something else here in these passages. We're gonna go back up to verse 7 here. He says at verse 7, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Boy, that's an important passage, isn't it? The earthen vessels, what's that a reference to? That's just a reference to our bodies. He calls them, in verse 7, earthen vessels. He calls it in verse 10, the body. Verse 10, our body. Verse 11, he calls it our flesh. Verse 16, he calls it the outer man. Chapter 5, verse 1, he calls it our earthly house of this tabernacle. See all the different ways that the Holy Spirit identifies this physical body in which we live, all the different aspects. It's an earthen vessel. It's a vessel is designed to do what? To hold something. If it's earthen, it's made of what? Earth. It's made of clay. Therefore, it is what? breakable, it's fragile, and it will break. So why would he put the treasure, something that's so valuable, in something that's so worthless? Clay, from dust thou art, and the dust. You know, they say if you were to take all the chemicals, if you just take your body and you take all the chemicals of what it is in a pile of dust, they used to say it's worth about 79 cents or whatever. You know, it's just because of inflation, it's worth about what, 5 cents nowadays at best. You know, that's unless of course you have gold fillings or silver fillings, and then maybe it's more. But
extract those before they close.
There you go. Extract those before they close the casket. But anyway, why would God take something that He says is so valuable, the treasure, and put it in something so worthless? That verse tells us why. That the excellency of the power. Verse 7. That the excellency of the power may be of God. Now, the power has got to be of the treasure, not of the vessel. And he doesn't simply say the power be of God. He says the excellency of the power. The ability of the power to excel beyond the need and never be exhausted. In the same chapter, remember he talked about it, verse 15, abundant grace. The capacity of the grace of God to produce an abundant crop and to do it through a worthless old vessel of clay. Isn't that something? So, it really gets down to the issue again of, well, what are we going to trust? The walk of faith in the life of the believer, and we talked about this last time, if I remember correctly, the battle that we face, that every believer faces, it's that walk of faith. It's the decisions that we make in our life. Am I going to believe God's word, or am I going to rely upon my own thinking and my own smarts? You know? And most of the time we wind up relying on our own thinking. And then we get ourselves in situations where we say, oops, that wasn't so good. I need to go back and trust God's word. You know, so. All right. Well, we're going to continue next time to talk about some additional things that are not seen and why we keep our eyes on there. So I want you to think about that between now and next week. Okay. Anybody have any questions or additional thoughts or comments or anything?
Go from the Sazwa.
Okay, go ahead.
What do I need to do here again?
Trophimus, we'll give you the mic. So you'll need to release the mic, and then you'll need to turn your speakers up so we can hear what he says. I can't hear what he's saying. I can't hear what he's saying. Type in there. Well, why is it picking that up?
That's why I help.
Take the mic back. and let me know when we're back on there. And let's turn the sound back down there too. Are we good? Trophimus, thanks for sharing that with us. I wonder if you wouldn't mind if we could get a copy of that. We'll have Dan post it on our website and link it together with tonight's message, if you don't mind. That'd be very good. I think we'd enjoy that. Yeah.
He said, yes, you're welcome. Sure, we'll send Dan a copy.
That'd be fantastic. Okay, excellent. Anybody else have a question on there? Any hands up? Anybody here tonight? Okay. Well, we'll have a word of prayer and then we'll dismiss the class tonight. Our gracious God and Father, we are thankful that we can spend some time looking into your word again, and especially in the light of these verses that remind us the simplicity of what a walk of faith actually is, but reminds us also of why it is that way. And we pray and ask God that as we have looked at these verses again tonight, and we've all looked at them many, many, many times, that we will look at them many, many, many times again going forward. And not just that we would look at them, but that we would learn the truth of them, the reality of them, and a little bit more each and every day, how to trust you in these verses, how to rely upon you in the midst of the challenges and difficulties that we face. And we indeed thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so thanks everyone for being with us tonight on the internet, and have yourself a great rest of your evening. Good night now.